Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I've mentioned many times about welcoming special guests to our studio. But I can say, particularly since I doubt very much if my very special guest in the studio has time to listen to radio at all, but she was very much a part of our radio broadcast, Irish Radio Network, and actually had did a stint with us, and brought some extraordinary guests to our program, and she was giving us a bad name, so we encouraged her to become chairman of the American Ireland Fund. I welcome Loretta Brennan-Gluckman. You're very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian. It's good to be home.
You were never that far away from broadcast and from production, from everything, but particularly, I think, your association with public service broadcast, that was a very big challenge at a time when many in commercial radio were hoping that this would go away.
Go away, quietly, preferably. But as I used to tell you and Onya, you brought me home to my first love. I love radio. I think it's the most intimate of media, and it's what I prefer. So those were good days, and I'm thrilled to be back today. But I would like, and as we talk all the time, one of these days when I, quote, slow down, I'm going to come in and talk to your listeners on a regular basis, because I would welcome that.
That would be terrific. Can't happen soon enough.
Thank you.
Let me welcome, and by the way, your
I'm here
role
with a different,
here.
Yeah, your different hat today.
Yeah.
I'm here happily in my role at Glucksman Ireland House, and I'm here with the president of our board, Judith McGuire, and our academic director, Professor Joe Lee, of whom most of you have heard. So
indeed,
we have a lot of exciting stuff to tell you, so thank you very much for giving us the opportunity.
Judith McGuire, president of Glucksman Ireland House, board of directors. Tell us, first of all, how did you become involved with Glucksman Ireland House?
Well, in 1995... I went to a poetry reading at the 92nd Street Y, where there were a group of English-speaking poets reading from poems that they had contributed to a volume called After Ovid, The New Metamorphoses. Among them were Michael Longley and Derek Mann, who were going to be reading the following evening at Glucksman Ireland House, of which I was utterly unaware. But I went there, dragged my husband, and we've been going ever since. Yeah.
Professor, and you are, you're very welcome. Professor Jolie, Loretta mentioned that many have heard you, not just on radio, but your voice does carry.
And thank you. I love these compliments.
But perhaps... You will back up a little bit for us and talk about your academic involvement in Ireland, and indeed some of your own background in education, and back us up to.
Okay.
I have a starting point.
Yeah.
Age 6. You were in Boston.
Just not in age last 6.
You were in Boston for an event. You were speaking, as you do, many places around the world. But you were in Boston.
Yep.
And somebody decided to dig into and produce some evidence from your past. There you were 6.
That's right.
A long time ago. Women swarming around you.
yes, 4 6-year-olds.
Now tell us a little bit about
it. No, it was a wonderful experience for me. I was speaking in Boston to the Charitable Irish on Wednesday when 5 people came up to me, all from my school days in Castle Gregory in Kerry, when I was under the age of 10. And one of them had a photograph from 1948 of 5 of us. I was the only boy with the 4 girls around me, and I wasn't appreciating, you know, my good look and having such company that time. So there was a pus or a scowl on my face, but it was incompatibly me. And then they also produced a picture of my mother from 1948, which I had never seen before. And I was just in seventh heaven. I mean, this was bringing a dimension to my my memory, my lost memory. So I've just been on a cloud since then. Yeah. I've been feeling very good.
They had the advantage though of knowing that you were going to be there.
That's true, and I had no idea they were going to be there.
And did any of them have the cheek to say, "I bet you don't know who I am"?
They did wonder if I remember, because I looked at them with that uncomprehending gaze that I look at the entire world, and probably felt he doesn't remember us, you know, 64, 65 years afterwards, probably. I can't remember things from 5 minutes ago, so I mean, you know.
Now, fishing for compliments won't get you far around here. Judith, a very special occasion and a very special anniversary is coming up, and maybe you will break the news for us.
Thank you for this opportunity. We are celebrating this year in 2013 the 20th anniversary of the establishment of Glucksman Ireland House by Lou and Loretta Brennan Glucksman. Loretta here with us today. And we have a series of wonderful events planned. The first will be a gala dinner on February 26th, the honoree will be Loretta, and we are delighted that she has agreed to do that with us. And it will be a terrific occasion. At it, speaking will be Seamus Heaney, and playing James Galway, beyond all the other things. Our own New York Colm McCann will also be speaking, as well as honoring Loretta. So we are just delighted with this event. And there are a couple of other major events that Joe can probably address because they're more academic, but one is a reenactment of a trial, an 1813 trial. So this is the 200th anniversary of that trial that established the priest penitent privilege in the United States. It was argued by a United Irishman, William Sampson, successfully. Following that, there'll be a dramatic reenactment of that. The following day, a conference on religious freedom with several visiting scholars. And on the Sunday of that weekend, a visit to Greenwood Cemetery in Brooklyn, where the tombs of Robert Sampson, who argued for the defendant, and DeWitt Clinton, who was then mayor and who presided over the case, are in that cemetery. So that's that event.
Incredible. And what's your own Irish background?
The most recent is my grandmother, who lived with us until I was 13. She and I were both born in Queens County. I here and she there. And then the rest came probably during the famine. We don't know for sure. But that's it.
Loretta, I think apart from the fact that when we were talking and when the word came that this was the 20th anniversary of the establishment of Glucksman Ireland House, I don't know how many others might have said what I said. No, there's something wrong with that. Can't be 20 years. But in fact, it is indeed 20 years of astonishing success. Can you bring us back a little bit beyond the 20 years, before the 20 years, and how this came around?
Well, I totally agree with you that there's got to be some chronological error here somewhere. It cannot be 20 years, but indeed it is, of course. Lou has been gone now 7 years, which also seems totally impossible. Yeah. But to cast my mind back to the early 1990s, Dahi O'Kelly was our council general. Do you remember?
Yes, indeed.
And we became good friends, Lou and Dahi and Antoinette and myself, and used to talk about things with the community and what could be done. And Lou was then a trustee at NYU, and he was very, very conscious of the fact that NYU had ethnic houses for all but the Irish. So he set about trying to correct that, and we were lucky that Jay Oliva was president at the time, who had the good sense to have a cat, an Irish mother. So there was interest there, and we went to Ireland and to see if there would be interest over there among the academic community.
Mm-hmm.
There surely was. So we came back, and Lou bought two of the little houses on Washington Mews. We refurbished them, and we put out the shingle, having no clue what was going to happen. We knew within the academic community, of course, mm-hmm. what would transpire, because that was preordained. But we were placed, of course we were, within the Department of English. They didn't know what to do with an Irish house. So our first academic director was Bob Scally, a mm-hmm. colleague of Joe's. And we just, they set about doing Irish studies. On the community side was really the crapshoot, if you will. We had no idea if the community would receive it, how it would be received. So we just started on Thursday nights saying, come on down, we have this poet or that poet. And indeed, it was the first place where one could bring a visiting Irish artist or politician or scholar that wasn't a pub. Now, I love pubs more than anybody, but there are certain events that should have a different ambiance. And Ireland House became that place. And then over the years, all of them came. We had the Shinners, right. We had the Hibernians, we had every stripe and color you could imagine.
Right.
So it just evolved into sort of a safe space, and everybody felt welcome.
I think the perception in the beginning would have been that this was now a center for academics.
Yep.
And whereas from day one that was true, but it took some time to evolve and to. Since this was brand new to an Irish community, an mm-hmm. Irish American community, to say this is not just. Not just. That this is, in fact, this is a place of great warmth and of great welcome. And, from once that word got out, I think that it is pretty easy to understand how it became, the Irish Center for Irish Studies, for Irish events that would have an opportunity and difficulty in operating from a pub setting.
Yeah, sometimes there was a choice between a pub or the Irish government's aegis. And I remember one particular event. It was during the Patent Commission. Do you remember?
Definitely.
The investigations into the Troubles. And Bill Bratton and John Timoney, who were friends of Ireland House, and they put together this group to come over from Ireland with Chris Patton and his commission and some of the policemen before the PRSNI, I can never say that right. And there was this meeting, private but not secret, and it was one of the more interesting evenings I've ever had mm-hmm. with policemen from New York, the rank and file, as well as Bill Bratton and John, and the rank and file from the North comparing notes on how you police a community where there are divisions. Ours were primarily racial, and of course the Irish were sectarian. But it was events like that that proved to me that this space could have almost any application. But then when Joe came, because Joe's really, all kidding aside, because we do kid him, because he's got this problem, his mouth can't keep up with his brain, and so he has to talk as fast as he can in order to let us know what's happening in his brain. But his
For instance, if he were the host of my three-hour program, he would have it done in 45 minutes.
Exactly. or he would go 6 hours. But he's always got something to say. And when Joe came, the level of the academic, and this is no aspersion on Bob Scally, who started the place, and we would not be here if it weren't for Bob Scally. But Joe's reputation preceded him, and the amount of other scholars that we were able to attract was just mind-boggling in those days. So, Joe, why don't you talk a little bit about how you perceived the academic program when you came in and what you feel happened with it?
You're far too flattering to me, Loretta. far too flattering to me. Because I wouldn't be able to work for Bob Scally, in a sense that it was what Bob did in his early years. When Ireland House was still, you know, unformed, it could go in various directions. He invited a number of people from Ireland for maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months. And one got to know him, and he got to know us. And then he wrote a wonderful book called The End of Hidden Ireland, which is about the famine in County Roscommon, published by Oxford.
Yes.
Beautiful, because he's a lovely stylist. And I then got invited back, now in retrospect, to be looked at, because you had to have an appointment in a department in NYU as well as in Ireland House to be academically acceptable to the university as such. I was invited back. I wasn't fully aware at all that I was being looked at, but I obviously was. I must have behaved myself, I suppose, to be then invited to come back as director in succession to Bob. I was in University College Cork at the time, where I'd been for 20-odd years, had a very lively, interesting, instructive life there. But I was ready for a new challenge. And from the period that I had been here for a few months, I found Ireland House then very exciting. I thought the potential was enormous. I loved the interplay between the academic and the community. I love the variety of approaches to different problems, different issues, etc. The literary one, the theatrical one, and the blend of the academic and the public cultural, shall we say.
Yeah.
I regard Ireland House as a cultural centre. And the academic is one very important part of it, obviously a crucial part of it, but we have all these other activities going on that are in the public events that Loretta referred to. One man who must be mentioned is Dinis Donoghue, who was a mega scholar and gave us, I think, also additional academic credibility as we built up our various activities.
Yeah.
I just fell in love with the place when I came. I won't say who I fell in love with, apart from what I fell in love with, but
see,
I just found
slow
it exhilarating.
Start, actually, at age six. That was
I found it exhilarating, it really is. And what I love about it, and about NYU, I have to say also, you have a permission authority to try anything. Okay, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But it's the exhilaration of being able to push out the boat and see if it will work, which means you don't have to curb yourself all the time wondering what higher authority is going to accept. Try it. If it works, we'll back you.
Yeah. Something does strike me, and I think a lot of people would understand, we do have the great cooperation, particularly... since Dahi O'Kelly's as Consul General from Ireland to New York and the broader areas, we've had a great run of cooperation from the Consul, from the Government Consul General. There is also, though, an area of sensitivity with respect to what you can and what you can't, and particularly how this is going to be perceived, could be quite very legitimate. Same can be said from the American Irish Historical Society, where a lot of events take place, and a lot of very good Irish cultural events are, and again, much more so in recent years. But their Glucksman Ireland House is a centre for broadening of opinions, and where there aren't a set of rules based on political sensitivities or, you know, in that area. And I think that's probably what, you know, Glasgow Ireland has brought to a community that took a while to understand, you know, what was going on.
What it was about. These things shouldn't be important, but they really are. We are not nearly as grand as the American-Irish Historical Society. Kevin has built a wonderful organization based in this palatial home, and it's the pride of Irish-American New York. We are we're like a snug compared to the American-Irish Historical Society. And people feel that when they come in. There's a welcoming sense that there is nothing demanded of them, that they should be comfortable. It's like going into a friend's house in Dublin or something. And that's an overstatement. That's the good side. The downside is, as Joe will attest and Judith, we're stretched to the gills. We have not an inch of space, but we still pack it full of a lot of things. I think we're complementary to organizations like the Historical Society in that we are that sort of buzzing, active little hive of community.
We also, of course, have, you know, and you are co-chair of New York University, it's Glucksman Ireland House, but we also have the great benefit of your involvement on boards of universities in Ireland, Trinity College Dublin, University College Cork. That was a nice stroke there, Joe. However, the Royal Irish Academy, and indeed on the industrial and on the business end, you have just retired from the board of perhaps one of the most successful government agencies ever in the Ireland's IDA, Industrial Development Agencies. So you bring a lot more than a building, a place, a something that was, you know, and you referred to it as a snug compared to American Irish Historical Society. I have to be careful here not to dilute my relationship with Dr. Kevin Cahill.
No one wants to do that.
No, especially since he's the guy with the needle. But however, that is in the context of what you say in terms of being welcoming and in terms of setting an atmosphere of the Irish parlour, it's unique. It remains so, and nobody could tolerate the notion of taking what you have there and expanding the space. The enemy that it is what it is.
Well, we're still working on getting one little wee bit more space, but that won't spoil the ambiance.
Let it not spoil.
No, the people in that place are what make it hum and be so welcoming. We have been so fortunate with our academic staff. And then, again, by sheer dumb luck, we put together an advisory board 20 years ago. Yeah. And that group has been so loyal and so steadfast, so talented and generous, and most of them are still with us. That's the group that Judith chairs. And if it weren't for them, this 20th anniversary celebration would be a little tick on the calendar and nothing else.
Right.
Instead, it is this amazing panoply of events that you just read out. And Judith, maybe you would talk a little bit about that wondrous group that you had.
Well, there are some terrific people on it. Pete Hamill, whom everybody knows, is on our board. Peter Quinn, Arthur Gelb, the eminent O'Neill scholar, and
Trish Hardy,
the editor of Irish American Magazine. Cormac O'Malley, whose father is so prominent in Irish history. George Darty was formerly president of our board. Declan Kelly, who is the chair of this gala coming up, is on our board. Kevin Morrissey from the Irish Institute is on the board. And Jay Oliva, of course, was co-founder. And John Sexton is co-chair, president of NYU, formerly dean of the law school, is co-chair with Loretta. So we have really a terrific board. Eileen Dowling.
Great board. And also, fortunately, you have a board who don't take for granted that Glaxman Ireland has the benevolence of Glaxman and Glaxman Ireland House for 20 years has relied very heavily on Glaxman and indeed to have, you know, the realistic approach, one that says, wait a minute, we're doing great, thank you. This cannot be improved. But I think that the reality of the matter is that Glaxman Ireland House has gained the reputation and the progress is such that even risking, you know, what has not been a problem in 20 years, but definitely because of, not the least of which is because of economic pressures and downturns and whatever, what have you, the time has come to say, wait a minute, we better not just go along and assume that this is going to be a free ride for the next 20 years.
Absolutely.
And beyond.
Absolutely. We really need to raise funds to support so many of our programs. We have a wonderful program in the oral history program that's recorded the history, the lives of so many Irish and Irish Americans, the archives of Irish America. NYU supports a lot of that, but we must make our contribution. And this gala will really help us move on.
Now, there is a rumor that academics are not that practical, you know, and that actually if you really want to address fundraising, less academics probably would be better than more. You have a great balance here, though.
We do have a good balance, but indeed the academic side of it is so inspiring and exciting. Mm. And perhaps Joe could talk just a little bit about the Bordeaux letters. This requires financial support from the House, and one of the reasons that we are working so hard.
But when you say the word Bordeaux, there is support coming.
Okay.
Yes, from connoisseurs of the very best in that region.
I think there you are being seconded here into doing the hard sell.
Not at all. I mean, the compliments are flying thick and fast, but let me say, I will do a hard sell, all right? In this sense, that Glaxman Ireland House has flourished academically, it has flourished in terms of public outreach, in terms of its membership, which is wide open at very reasonable rates to anybody who wants to come to public events and things like that. But Loretta is being very, very modest indeed when she refers to it as a snook. It is a snook. It has a snook-like atmosphere.
Right.
But it is a very, very, how shall I put it, exquisitely furnished and so on snook.
Yeah.
It's not what you pop into in a bar in Ireland. And it's just lovely walking in the door. You know, there's a lovely atmosphere and there's lovely ambiance. And I just love walking in that front door. And I can spend pretty well all the day there. In fact, I do spend most of the day, most of the time there.
For those who know of the area of Washington Square, Washington Mews,
yes,
there is no place else as impressive.
I think it's wonderful, quite frankly. Let me go beyond that, because in terms of where we've come from and where we're going, I've said to Loretta often, if herself and Lou 20 years ago had envisaged where we would be today, would they have deemed that to be realistic? And she said, consistently said to me, and she better say the same now, no, they would not have anticipated being where we are today. And we had to keep moving. If you stand still in America in general, and certainly NYU, you go backwards. And we're now pushing out the boat further. This sounds very, very, I suppose, self-promoting. But in fact, NYU is pushing out the vote. It had been the global university. Mm-hmm. And so we now see ourselves, we began as a center for Irish studies. We're now a center for Irish and Irish American studies. We're moving toward being a center for Irish and Irish global studies. And we're going to be teaching in London, teaching in Sydney, maybe teaching in Buenos Aires, yeah, in terms of the global Irish. So we're small, but our ambitions are astronomical, one could say. And yeah, in that sense, there's a feeling of movement and a feeling of development all the time. It doesn't mean we get everything right. We don't. And you can smash into brick walls from time to time. But I far prefer that to just standing still and having the waves rise up above, right, and disappearing.
But it's not that there are viable alternatives. There, unfortunately, there are not.
That's true.
And again, whereas it is marvelous, to have Glucksmann Ireland House to introduce and to expand some of the services, just taking archives alone, just
right,
taking archives, Irish American.
Absolutely.
To have that and to know that that is not, as sometimes we perceive archives as, papers, I think I could get Cormac O'Malley to go on a tirade, but he would be able, he and others might say that the archives as we know them are cardboard boxes that are lying somewhere.
Totally non-accessible.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's,
yes,
what we've
non-accessible,
done.
And in fact, I suppose we're lucky that they're around. The possibility of acquiring and setting a standard. We went from a non-existent standard to the highest possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires a tremendous amount of money and of support and of commitment.
Yeah,
and the faculty that Joe has put together just on that, on the archive, Marion Casey, who is a world-class,
yes,
historian, and Miriam Nynum, who is working in, they're just world-class scholars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going.
And
to
there's no stopping them, I mean.
No, and there's no dearth, yes, of product. I mean, they
absolutely not. And anybody who was at the annual meeting of the Irish Institute,
right,
on, I think, Tuesday night in, yes, Glucksmann Ireland House, would have seen there how Marion, in particular, salvaged during Sandy, salvaged some of the best collections in private hands that were deemed lost because of the flooding.
Right.
And some were lost, but maybe 80%, 90% have been saved by virtue of her initiative in going to rescue them, and then of the work of NYU Library in actually,
yes,
drying them out. I had no idea that technology nowadays could dry out,
mm-hmm,
what were apparently abandoned, lost, destroyed documents, which simply gobsmacked the audience on Tuesday,
right,
night, mm-hmm, how this could be done.
And to even cross into an area that one would have felt should take its place long after the glut of archival material, which had to be again rescued, gathered, and taken care of for our history and culture, broaching oral history, yeah, was unheard of. The level of commitment that is taken for something like that is foreign. I doubt very much if you will. You know, in many of the cultures in this, melting pot of not only America, New York, but of America,
yes,
that the significance of oral history could not be greater than, with ourselves.
From whence we come. You're dead right. Particularly as there is in Irish tradition, a great commitment to reticence, shall we say,
mm-hmm, yes,
about,
oh, yeah,
the past. And it's only when you get people to willing to respond constructively, what they see is an aspiration to give historical significance to their memories. They don't think of themselves as important, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you see what they're recording that you realize how much Their sense of family, how much their sense of dedication, what a lot of Irish did to bring over other Irish,
right.
over members of their families, etc. No family thinks of themselves as historical in that mm-hmm. sense.
Right.
But when you actually hear them talking about it and you line them up side by side, you get a sense of a cultural continuity.
Exactly.
That I think what is
find
extremely
about it,
important.
Yeah. Well, what I find and what I have found with it is that this is not a public relations exercise.
No.
This oral history, if it is done, and if it's done properly, will show the warts and all. It will show also yes. a lot of sometimes generations of customs and traditions, but no, they say at home, no blast on it.
Absolutely.
This is not, a shining process to bring out the best of.
No, telling it as it was,
yeah.
it was, warts and all.
Yes.
Yep.
And I think particularly when you take a look at the various counties, the various, even on the parochial level, the differences, the perceptions, what immigrants have gotten out of it.
Absolutely.
And we should point out that these are all in the library, digitized and available, and some even on podcasts, available to the general public
and
through
scholars.
The library and scholars yeah. at NYU.
Yeah. Let me say one more thing, Adrian. I don't know when we're finishing up. Loretta talked about everybody except herself. I've worked in, I think, 9 universities. This is not for you, dear. This is 9 universities in 5 countries. I've never known anybody who is simultaneously so supportive and so self-effacing. And it's just a bloody joy to work there.
Mm. Okay.
On that point, and Judith, I have to give a lot of thanks to, because she has put up with my recalcitrance. I am not... I'm not accustomed to this role, as you know, Adrian. I like to give out the encomiums. I don't like to listen to them about myself. But before we do wrap up, if I could just make one plug for our membership. Judith, you'd have to tell me what it is now. People can join. I think it's
$100.
$100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you get such an amazing access to our wonderful...
I think we have to get past what I would consider the greatest... probably deterrent from membership is the perception that since this is an academic institute,
yeah. mm-hmm.
since this is that it's probably a closed shop.
No, it's so open.
Boy, mm. It is. If there was anything where you didn't have to, produce your qualifications or your peculiarities, which covers some of us. This is something that is open, and we've had 20 years now, to take the kinks out of perception. Mm-hmm. It is what it is, and there is nothing like it in the United States at all. There's an American Journal of Irish Studies. The reason I mention it is we love to be. Remember where you heard it first here. Joe, tell us about this one.
Well, this is the latest American Journal of Irish Studies. It's just come off the press today. It was a literary ride in Ireland
right.
this morning. But what it is the publication of a number of named lecturers in Ireland House over the last couple of years. I think it's wonderful value. It has Michael D. Higgins's lecture that he gave there when he came over last May, Michael D. was here,
right.
And a memorable presentation.
Right.
I think there were people looking at that and saying, that's what the President of Ireland can do,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
He gobsmacked them. But there's also Gary Hines, for instance, the great director of
and
so on. Gary is in here with a talk she gave here. There's an oral history where Peter Quinn interviewed Governor Hugh Carey on politics of fascinating. Fascinating,
wow.
Utterly. So I won't go on one by one, but
no.
this is an attempt to convey to the wider public to convey something of the quality
right.
of the presentations in Ireland House. You know, it's now called American Journal of Irish Studies. Yeah.
It used to be called RIARC, but no one could say it, although it's a beautiful Irish name.
It is a beautiful Irish name, and there's a little pang of regret in my that we don't have RIARC in there as a subheading or something like that. RIARC means vision, you know, perspective.
Right.
It's open-ended, which is what Drusman Ireland House is also open-ended.
So, this could be a collector's item.
It could be, absolutely. Yep.
It's available on our website.
Is it?
It is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. It's available on the website as well. Yep.
Yeah, well, you see, as you would well know, Loretta, you know, on public service radio, we don't flog anything. But if we were, this is brand new. It is a collector's item. I appreciate getting
Thank you very much. Yes.
And this will not. My copy is not going to go to the archives. Holding on to it. Coming up, friends, it is the 20th anniversary of Glucksman Ireland House, New York University 20th anniversary gala. And Judith, where is it going to take place?
It will be at the Kimmel Center at the Rosenthal Pavilion, high up above Washington Square, looking across, and one can look across Washington Square and see Ireland House. So it's a very fitting venue for this event.
And how, yeah. And this is a first in the sense that of your very impressive board and indeed many of your members have not had a chance to actually meet under the one roof.
Yes, this is the first time we've ever done anything like this, the first time we've ever raised this kind of financial backing, and we are just delighted for the opportunity. We hope people will join us in celebrating Loretta as our honoree and Ireland House for 20 years of extraordinary programming and academics. So it's a terrific event for us.
Loretta, indeed, I think, I say this, I'm sure some will say that this is a bit over the top, but Seamus Heaney will be somewhat overshadowed. you know.
That's impossible.
But that gives you an idea, again, of the significance and of the tremendous success and expansion of something that 20 years ago we would not have imagined could happen. For those who want information, for those who would like to get the details,
you can telephone Ireland House at 3953. Actually, right. Miriam Nyhan.
Oh, Miriam.
Miriam Nyhan. Or go to the website, which is www.irelandhouse.fas.nyu.edu.
Give us that again. That
www.irelandhouse.fas.nyu.edu. And the FAS is Faculty of Arts and Sciences, if it helps people to remember.
Very good. I'm leaning towards the phone.
Judith.
I'm leaning towards the phone number.
Exactly. No, exactly.
212-998-3953. We will also get a link on our own website at irishradio.com because we would be thrilled and delighted to know that an awful lot of our listeners, by virtue of today's time together, would say this may be a great opportunity for us to get involved with, or at least to find out what all of what we have perceived to be, you know, a teepee of academics
It's much wider than that. And we have a lot of things we haven't mentioned and we won't mention them now, but there's a lot of activities going on that I think people would be interested in.
We'll give you 60 seconds, Joe. You should be able to cover everything.
We have a master's program, for instance, on which we have people at all ages, from immediate graduates to, in fact, retired people coming in and it's a wonderful blend. Now, we're trying to develop in various directions, so we're almost open to suggestions from people about what we might have if we can teach it, and we're promoting that very emphatically. We have outreach in a variety of ways. Back to Ireland, we bring a lot of people over from Ireland to present in our public events, so on. You see Seamus Heaney there. Seamus was actually at the opening of the Duxman Ireland
That's
House
true.
Back in 1993.
And so was Jimmy Galway.
And Brian Friel.
And Brian Friel. But Jimmy and Seamus are going to be with us for the 20 years, so that's just wonderful.
We teach Irish language. Irish language. We have over 100 people, 100 students a year taking Irish language in some shape or form.
And a summer program in Dublin.
A summer program at Trinity College Dublin. There's a whole bevy of continuing activity.
The teacher of the Irish language, Pádraic O'Carroll, is voted consistently the most popular teacher within the entire university. Isn't that
it's
true,
phenomenal.
Joe?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah. Okay. From Guido into Nigol.
Yep.
You're beginning to brag, which you should.
No, this is a factual record, purely factual record. If we were bragging, you would be here all day.
Also, I think if you, friends, for those who Google and whatever, go to Ireland House, NYU, Ireland House, Glucksman Ireland House, and there are a lot of links there. It is my distinct pleasure, indeed, to be somewhat involved in carrying, glad tidings, and there are
indeed
rare occasions when something as significant as this. And I say that with all sincerity. That's why on Tuesday, February 26th, Glucksman Ireland House 20th Anniversary Gala will take place. And we hope to see a lot of people there who heretofore have not even had an opportunity to visit Glucksman Ireland House.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for this, Adrian. It was really good to see you, and good to have you allow us to address your listeners. Thanks.
Thank you, Adrian.
Are listening to Irish Radio Network USA. Loretta Brennan Glucksman, co-chair of New York University Glucksman Ireland House, chairman of the American Ireland Fund. And indeed, friends, you may notice that we didn't even mention the American Ireland Fund, because that is more than a program in itself. Judith McGuire, president of Glucksman Ireland House, who indeed will be mentioned very positively and briefly if this is a rip-roaring success. Otherwise, she will be mentioned very prominently as somebody who was only getting her feet wet. And I say that obviously in jest. And Professor Joe Lee, the shy 60-year-old, surrounded by a harem, and it came back to haunt him, but he is indeed chair of Irish Studies and director of Irish Studies at Glucksman Ireland House, New York University, professor of history, and of course, Irish Studies. You're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.